I go before the Lord and I ask Him what He wants me to say to this congregation and to anybody who would listen to this media platform that the Lord has given us. I just want to say this. Things are happening so fast in the nations of the world that if you're not locked in and stable in the Word of God and the things of God and the prophetic, you're going to find yourself in a situation where it's going to be very troubling to you and you're going to lose your focus. I'm not here to vindicate the word from last week, but we're already seeing, and even before that word was released, we're seeing these things fulfilled. And some of these things you have to actually go and look beyond the headlines of a cat stuck in a tree. Amen. And go to see what's happening in the world and what they're not telling you. I spent some time doing that yesterday, and I was pretty blown away about what's taking place around the world. Some assassinations and different things. But you're not going to hear that in today's good news churches. You're not going to hear that today in good news cycles, because we're in an election cycle. We are in an election period, and we have to give you as good news as possible. But the Lord spoke to us not long ago that there would come a time when there is so much happening that they will not be able to hide the reality of what's taking place. And Milwaukee should be a good example for you to see what is happening. And it's not over, and there's more to come. But that's not my assignment this morning. My assignment is to bring a word to you that the Lord spoke to me this morning. And this is what He said. He said, "Ichabod, the fire has gone out, and my spirit has departed. For the watchman that watches has watched in vain. For he has let my fire go out. He has forsaken my spirit's dwellings, and I have removed his habitation. For the church desires the things of this earth rather than the treasures of heaven. I have prepared a table before your enemies, but you refuse to come and dine. Therefore, you will be their portion. You have rejected my plans to prepare you as a holy bride. Now your garments will be tattered and your beauty will flee. Today you have provoked me as in the day of provocation. Now you will pay the price. I am a jealous God, and I will reap where I sow. I have given you my word and you've rejected it. I have given you my glory and you have refused to wear it. I have given you my holiness and you refuse to walk in it. I have given you my grace, but you have abused it. I will return to you if you will return to me. I will heal you if you will call upon me. Where will you go? To whom will you run to in the hour of calamity? For when the fires of affliction fall, then you will call. Then you will return. And only then will I see my bride clean, pure, without spot or earthly blemish. Your time is short. Prepare, for the hour is late. To my Davids, return to my temple and light the fire of my presence. Guard that flame as a watchman that watches at the night. Find your light within my light. And then I will fill the temple with my presence and overwhelming glory." Can somebody say amen? "And then I'll show my promises of restoration of the last days, for I am suddenly returning to my temple, and there you will find me. In the place of holiness I will abide. Forsake not the assembling and gathering together in these final days, says your God. Their strength in numbers, and my glory will abide with my people, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Light the fire once again. Call upon my spirit, and I will manifest my glory." Amen. I believe that what I'm about to preach to you is a final warning to some pastors and some churches and some believers today. Because of the hour that we're living in a very dangerous hour. We're living in a suddenly moment that when everything seems normal, calm, and peaceful, it can change in the twinkling of an eye. It can change in just seconds. And we don't have the luxury to mess around and play around and drag our feet, as it was, in trying to prepare. How many of y'all know if you were in Louisiana, you don't have time to prepare now? You should have prepared. You should have been ready because of the storm. The title of my message this morning is called Ichabod. Ichabod. That was the first words that the Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, Ichabod. He said, the fire has gone out and my spirit has departed. And he led me to specific scriptures that I'm going to give to you today and do my best to preach this as a clarion call to the body of Christ. And again, this will serve as a final notice to those who have been playing around in life. For you know the word last week spoke of acceleration. The title of that message was really going to be called Acceleration of Death, but I figured that'd be a little too shocking, so I just called it Acceleration, even though the Lord called it Acceleration of Assassinations. But there's no doubt we're living in that time of acceleration to where we're seeing things take place faster than our minds can comprehend. Again, if you just receive a little bit of your information from selected television sources or internet sources, you really only know a thimbleful of what's happening. And maybe you like it that way, but I like to know the whole deal. Amen. That's why we're a full gospel church. I like the whole gospel. I want to know my daddy from the beginning all the way to the end. And so, because we are a people that we only want to hear good news and selective news, we miss out on the totality of what God is saying. That's why we have favorite preachers and favorite people that we cling to on television, because they give us a good word. Amen. Any word from God is a good word, no matter what it brings with it. And so, in that spirit and in that season of acceleration, I have to speak to the Church of Jesus Christ that is lukewarm, apostate, backslidden, and far from God. That's my assignment today. Go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6. There's many places that I will preach from this morning. And I didn't even get the first verse in. And that stinking thing is off. I was thinking, I tell you, I don't know how gorillas and buffalo and cows don't fall over from heat stroke. Throwing on that extra weight there. Leviticus chapter 6. Ichabod. We're going to talk about the fire going out and the spirit departing from the house of God. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to just do a little bit of an overview, a historic understanding here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and he lie unto his neighbor that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or has found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty. How many of y'all know that when you sin, you are guilty? We don't teach that anymore in the church, because if we sin, we've made a mistake. We teach today that you don't have to have a conscience that fears God, because God is a loving Father. He's full of grace, and He winks at your wrongs, and He understands that you are flesh, and He understands that you are weak. He understands that you're trying. No, if you sin, you're guilty. We don't teach that in the body because we're so enamored by those who sit in places of authority in the church. For those who have financial influence, we're so enamored by those who have a little more than we have, we're afraid to declare truth. Well, you've come to the wrong place if you believe that's the case. Because if you commit sin, or if I commit sin, I am guilty. And we don't teach that anymore. And our altar calls are full of head conversions and not heart conversions, because we use the mind of man to draw men to the altar instead of using the Word of God that convicts the heart of man. And man realizes and recognizes through the power of conviction, I'm unclean. But the mind of man is not so, because the mind of man wants to be at peace with everybody. The mind of man doesn't want conflict. The mind of man wants to say, can we all get along together? Oh, we can get along all together if there's no sin in the house. We can all get along together as long as there's no leaven in the bread. Come on, somebody, as long as there's no sin in the camp. Then it shall be, because he has sinned, is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten. Now look at verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron. Wait a minute, I'm sorry, I have to break out my modern translation. Would you please ask Aaron? Hold on, I got something wrong with it. Please, pretty please, could you see if Pastor Aaron wouldn't mind? No, why don't we read it the way it was written? Command Aaron. See, we don't like the word command or commandments anymore, because we are a people who are full of ourselves and full of our own dependency, and we don't need to be told what to do, because we are man, we are successful, we have degrees, we have executive positions, we have all these different things in our lives that make us so and so, and we have this behind our first name and this behind our last name, and we are overqualified for the job that we're working in. To inside of it. How dare you, preacher man, and how dare you, word of God, tell me what to do? You say, wow, that's pretty strong, Pastor. Well, it goes on every day, because right now churches are doing what they want to do. All across the fruited plains of America, you can tune in to whoever has a television station or television program, and you can see anything just about on Christian television. Except holiness and righteousness. Look what he says here. Command Aaron and his sons. This is generational. Command Aaron and his people and the leadership, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. So what did he say? He said, this is the law of the burnt offering. In other words, there is something that I am telling you to do. There's a command that I'm giving to you that you are supposed to apply, and you are supposed to go over, and you're supposed to stay faithful to that procedure. It's funny to me that when people get born again, they sit under a pastor and they listen and they learn, and then they get just enough edumacation. That's education for those of you who pass Tocoa area. Education in the things of God, and they get a little promotion, and they've gone from cleaning the bathrooms now to Sunday school teacher and all these different things. And now they're promoted, and they know more than the pastor does, and they know more than God does. Wave at me if you're still alive. And all of a sudden, they don't want to hear from God. They don't want to hear from a preacher because they've got it all going on. It happens all the time. I see it in Bible school. People, they're hungry for the things of God, and finally they get the first church, and then they build a building, and then they extend the building, and now they're no longer working at Pizza Hut and preaching. Now they've got a salary and they have all the benefits, and they don't want to follow what God told them to do. Verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, and he shall put upon his flesh, and take the ashes which are the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Again, here's the procedure of the burnt offering, the law of the burnt offering. What is this speaking of? This speaks of sin. There is a certain way you're supposed to deal with sin. Boy, this is a rough crowd tonight, I can tell you. Fangs are coming out, horns are sharpened. There is a certain way to deal with sin, and that is to put the sin on the altar. That is to have sin exposed for what it is. It's to have sin put upon the consuming fire of God and let God deal with it till nothing's left but ashes. Because you can always tell a modern church, they don't want to talk about the sin. They don't want to put it and lay it bare on the altar. They don't want to expose what it is. They won't preach what righteousness is. They won't preach what holiness is. They won't preach what sin is. Why? Because they've lost the law of the burnt offering. They don't understand what it means to expose sin and have it destroyed. No, see, because we teach you can have a little bit of sin as long as you ain't hurting nobody. Listen to me now. Some of y'all staring at me like a calf staring at a new gate. Modern church, they don't want to expose sin, and they don't want to get all the sin out. They just want a little bit left so we don't totally offend you. Is that right? The reason for that is because the pulpits of America today, they don't want confrontation. They don't want to lose position. They don't want to lose their privilege or prestige. And they've been taught inside seminaries, that you don't cause people to feel uncomfortable where they sit.
Well, I'm about to just jump right into this thing.
And the reason for that is, if you make them uncomfortable, they're never going to come back. Well, I have good news for you today. If you love God and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't care about sin being exposed, because that's the desire of your heart, that you would walk clean before God and you would want your preacher to declare and decree the truth of God. You see, the priest shall put on his garments, and he's going to take that offering and he's going to burn it till it becomes ashes. The problem with the church of America today is we have too much of the sin still left and not enough ashes. We don't have enough repentance. We don't have enough holiness and consecration to where we call upon a holy God and we say, God, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our unrighteousness. Forgive us for the things that nobody sitting next to me knows about but you.
Oh, here we go now.
You see, because your personality is what I and everybody sitting next to you knows, but your character is who God knows about you and about me.
Somebody says, oh, here we go with that Holy Ghost and fire rolling preaching.
Yep. Because I'm going to tell you something. We have to have this. We have to have, thus saith the Lord, we have to have another day where we call upon God and call upon the things of His holy presence for change. Look at verse 11. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp to where? A clean place. Look at that with me. What is he going to do? He's going to take the ashes and then he's going to take it where? to a clean place. Talking about what? Holiness. Talking about consecration. Talking about sanctification. Talking about getting it out from the camp. Getting the sin away from the camp. Getting all the things that hinder you and hinder me, and lay down every weight of sin and get it out of the place and put it to a clean place. But see, again, the law of burnt offering, we've lost that today in the American church because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to get anybody mad. But I'm going to tell you something. My goal is to get you mad. My goal is to get you mad at the devil, to get you mad at the current state of the church and say, God, I won't tolerate it no more. I don't want to tolerate sin anymore in my life. I won't tolerate sin in my marriage. I won't tolerate sin in anything that I do. Verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. How long is forever? How long is forever? It's forever. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. The reason that we have churches that are behind and lukewarm, if you will, in the things of God is because the fire has gone out concerning sin. In other words, we have a greater passion today to live for ourselves and to live for the devil than we do to live for God, to a place where we say, I don't even want it mentioned with my name. I don't even want sin mentioned with my name. I don't even want to be in the presence of unrighteousness, because I don't want the fire to ever go out in my life. Go to Leviticus chapter 9. I'm just giving you some groundwork before I get to where I want to go. Is that okay? Leviticus chapter 9. Look at this in verse 24. And there came a fire. And there came a fire out from before the Lord. Where's the fire coming from? It's coming from the Lord. Where's this fire coming from for the revival of the last days? It's coming from the Lord. It's not coming from Missouri. It's not coming from Cleveland. It's not coming from any other headquarters where a denomination gets together and plans out the year. No, it's coming from the Lord. It's coming from heaven. And it consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and they fell on their faces. I brought you to this point to give you this understanding, not only historically but prophetically, that the fire that started upon the burnt offering came from God. That the fire that started on the day of Pentecost started with God. The fire that will start in the last day movement of the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of God upon the churches, it will come from God. And where did the fire fall? At the burnt offering. The fire will always fall when you are convicted of your sin. Fire will always fall when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you lay upon the altar the unrighteousness of your life and of my life. The fire will always fall when we tell God that we are a prayerless people, that we're a people who would rather lay around in sin than in holiness. The fire will always fall when we tell God we'd rather stay home than go to church and confess that and tell Him, Lord, it is I that is undone. You see, because we have been taught for so long that it's the problem of the wino down the road, or the man in the crack house down the road, or the person who is addicted to meth. We look at everybody else and we say, that's the reason revival's not happening in the Church of America. I'm here to tell you the reason the revival's not happening is because of your sin and my sin. Because we won't confess it with our tongue, and we won't put it upon the altar of God, and we act as though we've done nothing wrong. And it's everybody else's fault. I'm here to tell you to confess with my tongue and to decree before the nations, it is my sin that has kept me from seeing the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It is my laziness that has kept me from seeing the outpouring that God has for the last days. But I'm here to confess and say, Father, wash me clean. And put a coal off of your fiery altar upon my mouth, that I may be touched with cleanse and cleansed mouth and cleansed hands and be made righteous again. You're not going to hear that in many churches today because we have selfie ministries. We have the ministries of me. We have the ministries of selfishness. But the reason America is in the conditions where we are in is not because of the sin in the camp outside. It is because of what's going on in the houses of God in America. And if this does not apply to you, then just say, praise God, it ain't me. But I believe this word applies to everybody, because everybody's got something going on they shouldn't. It may not be blatant, but prayerlessness is a sin. Is anybody here? Lack of communion is a sin. Lack of worship is a sin. Lack of pursuit of God is a sin. Lack of reading your Bible is a sin. Lack of pursuing God and wanting to be in the house of God every time the door is open is a sin. It's called lukewarm. Somebody is getting their final call today, listening to the sound of my voice. Somebody's about to lose their church and their ministry if you don't get your act together and fall in love with Christ again and be baptized in the Holy Ghost and confess your sins. Verse 24. There came a fire out from before the Lord. That means it came out of the holy place. Did you know that? It came out of the holy place. And it consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and they fell on their faces. Could you imagine that? That when the fire falls, people begin to fall before God and begin to worship Him. They begin to cry out and say, oh, what a mighty God He is. I'm telling you, the fire is falling in America, and there will be multitudes who will fall upon their face and cry out to the name of Jehovah, to the name of Yeshua. They'll call upon the name of God when the fire begins to fall, and some it will be too late. And I will prove that to you now. 1 Samuel chapter 3, I just gave you my introduction, if that's okay. Now I'd like to preach to you this word. So the job of the priest was to bring the offering of sin to an altar that he prepared. So key number one is this, that I must prepare an altar for the Lord. I should always have an altar ready for the Lord. My altar must be mobile. I must be able to carry it. You say, are you talking about something literal? No, I'm talking about your mouth. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about inside your car. I'm talking about inside your bedroom, or somewhere and anywhere and everywhere that you happen to go, there's your altar. The burnt offering is that which you have to give to God in the form of your sin. Again, I don't know what's going on in your life. I just named to you a category of sins that we all deal with. And so our lives should be constantly repenting before the Lord. Now, I know there's some in the body, some grace people and others that just, they don't believe you have to do that. Once saved, always saved. Confess it one and everything's fine, honey. You take a bath, hopefully, once a week. If you're like me, it's two or three times a day. Watch out now. Some of y'all, it could be monthly. Well, I do it the way I get paid, bi-monthly. Well, I don't know what your hygiene issues are naturally, but spiritually, you should be taking a bath every single day. Every day you confess, Lord, I love you and forgive me of my sins. Sins of commission and sins of omission. Things I did and the things I didn't even know I did. Things that I thought about and the things I should have been thinking about and I didn't. Well, that sounds like bondage. No, honey, that sounds like freedom to me. That sounds like a pure, clean heart and a conscience that's pure when I go to bed at night knowing that everything's fine between me and God. If just by opportunity I fixin' to slip into Daddy's presence, I want to be ready. Somebody said, well, that's just fear and that's just doubt and unbelief. No, I just, like I said, I just like to be clean. How many know we got enough pig pens in the church? Pig pens. Yeah, pig pen. Remember him? Look at this. 1 Samuel. Now you got to give me about another hour just to get going here, all right? Verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Just remember this, God always has a generation ready to take over. God always has a people ready in the background, in the backside of the desert, ready to do what the others won't. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. In other words, there was no prophetic activity. In other words, it was rare. It was prophetic inactivity. There was a lack of open vision. There was a lack of true words from God. There was a lack of thus saith the Lord and proof that God said it. Sounds like today. Sounds like today where anybody can stand up with a microphone and a Bible and declare and decree and say thus saith the Lord and be very trendy. I find it amazing that some recent prophecies that caused the church to be full of hype and full of false hope and false peace were measuring in the multiplied millions, if you will, of hits and views. Were those other words that were spoken under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit by various prophets and seers received only thousands of views. I find that very funny, but that's the hour that we're living in because we as a church, we want to hear something good. We want to hear something that makes the ear tingle. We want something that makes us feel at peace and feel at ease, and we don't want any stirring of trouble. Now, I can understand that if the days didn't call for war and didn't call for rebellion and didn't call for implosion, but if the days that are upon us are full of turmoil and full of tumult and full of crisis and full of chaos, I believe I want to hear a word that helps navigate me through that. And this was the condition of the church, if you will, under Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. There was no prophetic utterance because it was full of apostasy. The house of Eli, the position of Eli, The church government and the church system of Eli was apostate. Just like it is today. The generation that has control of the church today is apostate. I did not say that every preacher was apostate. I said the controlling figures that you watch on television and you see paraded upon political parties and political movements, they are apostate in their mindset and they're apostate in their theology because they're calling upon a political solution instead of calling upon burnt offerings upon the altar of God and calling for the fire of God to consume it to where it's just ashes. That is the cry and the call of this hour. Not waiting for November. We may not see November without the craziness exploding from coast to coast, from border to border in this nation. My question to you in your ecumenical high towers is this. What if you're wrong putting your money and all of your prayers and time, your precious little time, in the corner of a politician who will not sit on the throne of the White House? Then what will you do with your wasted time? See, in America, we have this mindset. It's going to be just like it was before. We're just going to cycle through. We're going to get over this little bump. We're going to get over this little hiccup. And we're going to have smooth sailing. And you fail to hear the word of the Lord. A lot of the reasons we don't want to hear the word of the Lord is not only because we want to hear a feel-good word. We don't like the vessel telling us this. Who are you and from whence did you come from? Who are you and what is the name of your church? And who are you backed by? And who is this and who is that? I've never heard of you. Honey, I don't care if you remember my name, but you better remember the name of Jehovah. You better remember the word of the living God and the proof of the prophetic coming to pass. I've told this congregation and I've told others on interviews, I don't care if anybody remembers my name. I really don't. Because I told you the greatest name I could ever have, the greatest title is Daddy. And as long as my children think I'm awesome, it's all good with me. Is anybody here? Look at verse 2. And it came to pass at that time. What time? The time of apostate. When Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. The reason we don't receive the prophetic words of not only myself, but the plethora of others that are out there that have awesome track records who are prophets by office and by calling in which I am not. The reason why we're not receiving these words is because we have grown dim in our eyes. The leadership of today does not want to see what is obvious. The leadership of today does not want to hear what is obvious. And this whole generation is going to sleep and don't want to hear the things of God. How many of y'all have tried to witness to somebody in your family? And they don't care what you got to say. They're not going to listen. They're falling asleep and their eyes are growing dim. And this is what's happening today in the Church of America. Verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel lay down to sleep. I believe this is one of the saddest scriptures that you'll find in the Bible, at least in the Old Testament, because the lamp of God, it went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel lay down to sleep. Now, I don't have time to go back now, but Leviticus chapter 24, it talks about the light of God in the temple or in the tabernacle and how that light was supposed to be burning forever. It was a perpetual ordinance of God. Go back and look that up and study that. But they were told to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Keep the light of God on. But verse 3, it says that the light from that lamp of God, it went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. I'm telling you by prophetic utterance that the light has gone out in the church of America, that the church of America is apostate, that the church of America has its own desire to do what it wants to do instead of the plan of God. They would rather do the programs of God. They would rather get together as a committee and vote on things instead of asking the Spirit of grace, what do you want to do? They would rather preach things that doesn't offend the person with money. They'd rather do things to keep from offending so-and-so. They'd rather have a certain program because today's visitor day. They'd rather act a certain way that's hypocritical than that which is righteous and that which is holy. They would rather get along with everybody instead of making ways and causing conviction and change to take place. No, America, the church has tried to become popular and friends with the world. I'm going to tell you where we made a mistake. We made our mistake when we tried to make Pentecost popular and mainstream. It will never be popular and it will never be mainstream. Let me get behind my bulletproof pulpit. Because it's the truth. We've gone charismatic, if you will, and we've gone over to this side, and we've gone all these different sides instead of going right down the middle like a bulldozer and saying, on the day of Pentecost, this is what took place. Cloven tongues like as fire, and they began to speak with other tongues, and one sermon was preached, and 3,000 souls got saved. But today we preach 3,000 sermons, and one soul gets saved. No. We've made a mistake. Instead of hiring and bringing in, should I say, people that love God, Pentecostal people, people that just fall face down before the throne and just love God. No, we have hirelings is what we have today. People that preach to make you feel good. What I'm preaching this morning is the antidote and the formula for the coming revival. It may not be popular, but it's what the doctor ordered. Are you here with me? So the light went out of the temple where the ark of God was. He said, I don't want you to let that light go out. I need that light to be there. Why did God need that light to be there? Number one, it was because of obedience, because he told him to do it. God don't need no night light. He is the light. He's the light of the world. So he didn't need a nightlight. What we needed was a light into his glory. We needed a pathway into his glory. And that light is the Holy Spirit. And that light is the Word of God. And the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have allowed that light to go out of the churches. See, I'm fixing to argue with carnal mind in just a minute because I already heard the argument in my spirit. I'm fixing to get there because I know what the carnal mind's saying right now. I know what the mind's saying, talking about, well, look, we got Jesus in the church. We got Bibles and all that. Hang on. I'm going to deal with that carnal mind in just a minute because I already saw it. And the Holy Ghost is going to tear that thing up because we got to break through this thing. We got to break through the minds and the traditions and the rituals of man before we ever get to the pure place of repentance and revival again. I know what I'm fixing to say. Verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel and answered. He said, here am I. So notice Samuel goes to sleep. And the Lord speaks to him. And he ran unto Eli, and he said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called thee not. Lay down again. He went and laid down. He did this several times. But look at verse 18. Samuel now comes to Eli. He understands that The Lord must have spoken to him. He finally got it. And Samuel told every whit or every word and hid nothing from him. And he said, I believe this was Eli. Some translations may say that it's just Samuel speaking back. But the point is, either Eli said nothing or Eli said this. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. Regardless of your interpretation, whether Eli said anything or said nothing or said this, the point remains that Eli did not take it to heart, and Eli did not repent, and Eli did not have enough common sense or spiritual understanding to know that this was a thus saith the Lord, even though he told Samuel it must have been God. That's how messed up we are in the church today, that we cannot discern the prophetic. We can't discern what's happening around us. We can't understand and see what God is trying to say, because there's so much prophetic pollution in the church today. There's so much confusion. There's so many opinions. There's so many versions of the Bible. There's so many translations from preachers that we stand confused as Eli did. But I'm going to tell you something. For all the counterfeits, there is a real. For all the pollution, there is a clean place. And all you need to do is know the Word of God and know the Spirit of God, and you will know the truth. I find it funny. So many people are confused inside the churches and confused in the prophetic community. I've got no confusion. Listen to me now. I'll tell you exactly what's happening. We're watching it all. I didn't say that I know everything, because you and I will never know anything. We know in part, see in part, look through a glass darkly. But the revelation is this, that if we're listening to God and we want to know truth, truth will come to you. Amen. And so here he was. He has the revelation from God. He shares it. Nothing is done about it. In verse 19, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. And he did not let none of his words fall to the ground. Did you see that? What Samuel said and what God said through Samuel, it came to pass. Can that still happen today? Yes, it can. It's called the Word of God. Man is going to make a mistake, but God ain't. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. What brought establishment to Samuel? Confirmation. And this is what I want to tell the church and the Church of Jesus Christ Universal. If the words are coming to pass, follow those words. Follow those prophets and prophetess and watchmen and seers and pastors and preachers. Follow them. If their words are not falling on the ground and they'll be confirming, follow them, and then you will have direction. Then you'll have clarity and you'll have confirmation with the Word of God. I'm saying this because I know from where I hear these reports, there's confusion in the body of Christ, and there shouldn't be. As I promise you this, whoever is sowing discord and sowing confusion in the church prophetically, they don't know the Word. Listen, all you got to do is just give me a teaching from their prophetic words, and I'll prove to you they're wrong. They can have all kinds of prophetic words that have the boom and the bam and the woo and the wow. Thus saith the Lord and thus saith God. They can have all those things, but give me a teaching from them, and I'll find from the Word of God they're in error. That's the simplest way to fix this confusion that goes on in the body. Just find out what they believe about the Word. Look, if God can use a donkey, look at your neighbor and say, he can use you. I can't believe y'all ain't got no guts to do that. Not a married man in the room looked. I didn't either. I was looking down. Now he looks. Samuel chapter 4. Give me about 20 more hours when I'm out of here. Verse Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. I got to get this to you. I got to finish this up. I'm telling you. Just see what they say in the Bible. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. When God has something to say, he's going to say it to everybody. That's why I don't allow personal prophecies in this church. If you're going to prophesy, you're going to prophesy first to me, and then I'll let you know if you can say it to one of these sheep. That's been my policy from day one. Because if you got to take somebody in the corner and whisper into their ear, that ain't God. If you don't want no authority around you, because you ain't got no authority to be doing it. Now, I ain't going to spill nobody's business over the loudspeaker, but you know what I'm talking about. Those that say, don't tell nobody else this. You better watch out. That's dark. Anything God does can go in the light and be examined with no problem. And the word of the Lord came to all of Israel from Samuel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched at Aphek. Now I want you to see something here in a prophetic parallel. Stay with me. I know you got to go to Shoney's here in a minute, but stay with me. The word Philistines translated means immigrants and foreigners. Hang in here. Another translation means sea people. They came from the island of Crete. They came from the sea. The parallel I'm trying to give to you today, and I'm going to try to say this gingerly because I'm probably going to be accused of being a bigot or whatever, and that's fine. That'd just be a new title, I reckon. But in a natural concept and a spiritual concept, we have foreigners in this nation who are plotting to destroy this nation and to take away from us the liberties and the freedoms that was given to us first through covenant, second through constitution. In a natural form and in a spiritual form. Spiritually, it is the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Babylon that is moving through our cities and through our political processes and through all venues and avenues, if you will, of our nation. And they are designing a plot and planning a plot to destroy you and I. Now again, this falls on deaf ears to many in the church, but to this church that's alive and awake, you know what I'm talking about. We've been watching this thing being planned. We've been watching this whole plan being revealed and hatched. And the intensity is coming to America. The fulfillment of this plan is coming to America. And you say, how is that possible? How can they be planning this? How can they get away with it? Don't you know who we are? Let me ask you this. How can this particular administration for 7.5 years get away with everything they got away with? How does this current candidate called Hillary Clinton get away with murder, get away with espionage, get away with treason, get away with anything and everything, and nobody's doing anything to stop her? At least with real teeth in it. It's because it's a plan. It's been a plan that's been in place longer than some of us have been alive. You tell me how corruption thrives in this nation with a constitution, with a Supreme Court, with laws. Honey, if you get caught speeding without a license, you're going to jail. Unless you know somebody. Or you get pulled over in D.C. Is anybody here? And so the prophetic parallel I want you to see here and what the Holy Ghost is highlighting is that we have been overtaken from within by foreigners. Not people alone. Please don't make this something that it's not. I'm not talking about those who came here legally. I'm really not even talking about those that came here illegally. I'm talking about the spirit that's upon this nation. For God told us and he warned us that he would use the Assyrians to take down this nation. Who are the Assyrians? That's anybody that has plotted against this nation. And unfortunately, they're in the White House right now. Let me move on. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. We think because we have the greatest army and we have all these things that we're going to defeat our enemy. I'm telling you, we will be defeated. And they were smitten before the Philistines, and they slew them of the army in the field, around 4,000 men. And when the people were coming to the camp of the elders of Israel, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." Look at this with me. Israel was apostate. They were in sin. The leadership was in sin. Eli had grown, his eyes had grown dim. There was no vision or prophetic word in the land. There was confusion in the camp. And the enemies came and they defeated Israel to the point of 4,000 men. So what did they do in their time of distress? They went back to the box of Lucky Charms and they went and grabbed the Ark of the Covenant. And what they did is what we're doing today is in our churches, we're using Lucky Charms. We're using things that represent holiness. We're using shadows of things that used to do good and righteousness. And we do all these incantations, if you will, and we act like we're spiritual and we're calling upon the name of the Lord while our heart is full of sin. And we are doing no different than they did on that day. It says they went in there to Shiloh. Number one, they didn't get permission to go to Shiloh. Not just anybody could go to Shiloh. Not just anybody could go get the presence of God. Number two, they didn't get permission to take the ark. What they did was, they said, "I'm going to go back to something that looked religious. I'm going to go back to something that helped me at one time, and I'm going to call upon this God, if you will, and ask for help." It's nothing more than Lucky Charms. And the Christian church gets mad at the Catholic for wearing a crucifix. Listen to me now. When all we do in church is the same thing. We walk into church and we think, "Well, if I sing my few songs, I'm going to be okay with God. If I get my red back hymnal." Some of y'all don't know what that is. "If I get the songbook. If we just sing this certain song, God's going to just, he's going to be appeased, like we're trying to appease some pagan god with our sacrifice." No, the only sacrifice that satisfies God is a sacrifice from a contrite, humble heart. And so here they were, in battle, losing the battle, and they go back and get their lucky charm. That's exactly what we're doing here in America. That's exactly what we're going to see in the coming days as terrorism begins to rip this nation apart, as racial tensions begin to rip this nation apart, as we see civil war in this nation, as we see an illegal election take place, and all of these things, it's going to cause the church to try to run back to Shiloh. When you should have had your burnt offering on the altar already, and it should have been already turned into ashes. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, keep your heart right before God. Confess with your tongue. Confess with your heart. Put your offering on that altar. So they went to Shiloh. Verse 4. "And so the people sent to Shiloh that night that they might bring," "from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between," what? "The cherubims and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas." And they were with the ark of the covenant of God. You notice that? Who were the keepers of the ark at the hour of the greatest need? Two of the backslidden children of Eli. I'm going to tell you something. There's a change of guard coming to the church. There's a change of money. There's a change of possessions. There's a change of authority. There's a change of all types of possessions to get this kingdom word out. And it's coming to the generation that's willing to live right before God and to hold the Ark of the Covenant holy once again. Who is the Ark? Jesus is the Ark. His presence is what we're to guard in this holy Bible. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. Notice this. Here comes the Ark. There's no power in that Ark now. But it was a symbol. The church is a symbol. The church has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. We look religious. We look religious with our Bibles. We look religious with our tithe waved in the air. We look religious because we dress up in outfits that look like church clothes. We are religious in our attitude towards God in worship. Verse 6, and when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is coming to the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing there tofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of this mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness." See, the enemy didn't even know who the God was. Didn't even know it was Jehovah. The translation is that they thought it was another pagan God. That's because we haven't shown who Jehovah really is. They never saw it heretofore. Honey, we ought to be displaying all the time to the devil who our God is. He ought to know exactly what's happening in that ignited church. He ought to know exactly what's happening in your home. He ought to know exactly who the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is to you. See, we're going to try to pull the God we think we know out of our bag of tricks in the time of our calamity. But I'm going to tell you something. The enemy will still strike because he has no fear. Look at verse 9. "Be strong and quiet yourselves like men, O Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quiet yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten and fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of the Israel 30,000 footmen. That's a big number. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. It goes on in verse 12, and read along in there at your own time. It talks about how Eli was told that his sons were killed. And the Bible declares that he fell down and he broke his neck because he was heavy and because he was old. There's a prophetic parallel in there that we've become so overweighted and our methods of reaching God have become old. We have to find the new and living way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, in verse 20, talking about the wife of Phinehas, and about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." In my final words, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 23. The name Ichabod has been written upon the church, the apostate church. I'm not talking about the remnant. I'm not talking about those that have sold out and loved God, the burning ones. I'm talking about corporate America church. I'm talking about church INC. I'm talking about the church that has fabricated and has made mechanical irrigation of the Spirit of God and the presence of God. It's sad when you have to go into a church and have light machines and smoke machines take the place of God's presence. I'm not against technology. I'm not against any of those things that enhance an atmosphere. But what it is an indication that we no longer know how to call upon the presence of God and bring in a true rain of His glory. We have to fabricate it and manipulate it. That's why we have preachers that have to beg for money. They have to prime people and throw all kinds of bondage on them to get money because they don't know how to live by faith anymore. You say, how do you live by faith? You put a bucket out and you say, give as the Lord told you to. You pray over it, you bless it, and you move on. You watch God multiply it. One day I'll tell you some stories about this house that'll blow you away about how God is taking care of us. And if you think we're surrounded by multimillionaires, you've been sleeping upside down in a post hole. We're surrounded by people of faith. We're surrounded by people who can rub two nickels together and make a dollar out of them. That's the kind of people I want to hang around. Is anybody here? Matthew chapter 23. If you get there faster enough, I'll go. I'm going to take my time just because you said amen. Look at this here. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. I'm getting out of here. You ready? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How about we change that? Oh, America, America. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which were sent unto thee, how would I have gathered you like children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Ichabod, the glory has departed from the house of God. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I believe like Samson, many of the church are going to shake themselves at the time of calamity and find out the anointing has left them. Many preachers are going to call upon the name that they said they believed and find out they have no power in that name. I believe that many will find themselves in a place of desolation. But I've got good news for whoever's listening to me this morning. This may be your last opportunity to grab hold of the things of God, to place your sin upon the altar of sacrifice and let it become a burnt offering. I believe there's an opportunity left still on the clock for you to make things right in your church, preacher man, for you false prophet to find the Spirit of God once again, and for revival to come to your house before the rains and the storms beat against it. Heavenly Father, I've delivered your message today. I pray for those listening to me right now that this was their last call. We are in an accelerated moment of prophetic history and prophetic timing that man cannot play around with you. I believe it's an hour where you're no longer winking but are staring at the affairs of man. I believe that prophetic reality concerning Israel is about to come to pass in such a way that no one within the church can deny the reality of the hour we're living in. I also believe, Father God, as you told me this morning, that the fires would come from the great lakes and go to inner cities. Before I ever knew what took place today, you've revealed that. And so I believe we're going to see greater conflict in this nation like we've never seen before because we turned our hearts from you. I pray, Father, let there be a solemn assembly among the churches again. May the pastor who knows this word was for them, or pastors, may they call upon your name once again with fear and with humble adoration, and repent of their sins. They know their sins. And may those, Father God, who have been convicted by these words, once again invite your presence into their home and into their lives. Father, I ask for you to bless Ignited Church continuously. I ask, Father God, that the fire would never go out in this house. Father, I vow that we will continue to keep the fire burning. We will protect it. We'll watch it as a watchman watches at night, Father, that we never let Holy Ghost fire leave this building nor leave our hearts. Father, we pray this and we receive this in Jesus' name.